This morning for our message, I want to start right where we left off as a choir. I want to just speak to you on a couple minutes on the subject, tell the good news. Tell the good news that Christ is born. The angels first announced it to the shepherds, as we read a moment ago. I want to read again from Luke chapter 2, where the Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Good tidings, good news to every single person. Delivered not to a group of shepherds, but delivered to all people. Did you ever stop and think how many times in the Bible where we read a story where somebody had good news to deliver? I mean, you can go back to the book of Genesis and you can just find example after example. I was thinking this week of some of those examples. Noah had good news to deliver when he was able to announce to the world, hey, the ark is done. If you want to be saved, you can just get on this boat that God had me build. That was good news. Joseph's brothers had good news when they were able to go back to their dad after they make their second trip to Egypt. And they said, hey, Joseph's not dead anymore. He's alive, and he's second in command in Egypt. The son you thought was dead is alive. Moses had good news when he came to the Israelites and said, we're going to get to leave Egypt. God has delivered us and Pharaoh has agreed to let us go. We're going to get to leave. Joshua had good news to deliver when he came to the Israelites and said, get ready, for tomorrow we're crossing the Jordan River and we're going into the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that God's prepared for us. Ruth had good news when she came home to Naomi and said, Mom, it was really her mother-in-law, but I think she called her mom, Mom, there was a man that took kindness on me today, and he let me to glean in his field. And look at all the stuff that I was able to glean so that we can eat. We won't starve to death. We'll be able to make it. David had good news when he was able to come back and said, hey, here's the head of Goliath. He's dead. The one that disgraced the armies of God. That was good news that he delivered. Cyrus delivered good news when he said to the children of Israel that had been captive for 70 years, you can go back to your land and you can rebuild the temple to your God. Nehemiah had good news when he came and said, the king's let me come to help you rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We don't have to worry about all the enemies around us anymore. The king's given us permission to rebuild the walls. And all the prophets, and I won't for time this morning take time, but all the prophets delivered good news when they delivered the prophecy that God gave to them that the Savior was coming. And you could probably think of other examples this morning as you've read through the pages of this book, this week, this month, of different people that had good news to deliver to others. I want to say three things about good news this morning. Number one, good news usually comes on the heels of bad news. Noah delivered good news that the ark was done. In fact, you've heard people say, just thought just came to mind, you've heard people say, well, I got good news for you and bad news for you. That's what Noah said. He said, hey, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is God's going to destroy the whole world with a flood. The good news is he told me to make an ark, and anybody that wants to be saved from the flood can be saved. Joseph's brothers had good news and bad news. Hey, Dad, you remember that son we thought was dead? Remember that son that you've mourned for years and years? He's alive, and he's in command in Egypt. Moses had good news and bad news. You've been slaves for 430 years, but God sent me to tell Pharaoh to let you go. Good news and bad news. Joshua, you wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That was the bad news. The good news is it's time to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. So good news usually comes on the heels of bad news. Number two, good news is usually directed at somebody or someone. Noah's good news about the ark being done was directed to every single person that lived in his day. Joseph's brother's good news was directed to one man, Jacob, Joseph's dad. Moses' good news was directed to every member of the nation of Israel that was held captive in the land of Egypt. We're free. We can leave. Pharaoh's agreed to let us go. Joshua's message was delivered to the same group of people. Well, not the same group of people, but to the same nation. We've wandered in this wilderness for 40 years. Now God said that we can go into the promised land. So good news is usually follows bad news, and good news is directed to somebody. And then number three, good news is not good news until it's told. Now catch this. Good news is not good news until it's told. In fact, any news at all is not news until it's told, until it's shared. If people don't know, if people don't hear good news, if they're not made aware of it, then to them it doesn't exist. It may exist to the one that knows the news, but to the one that needs to hear it, the good news doesn't exist. The good news about Christmas, you've heard the choir sing about it. You've heard me read it twice. I'm going to read it one more time. Just to drive it into our hearts and our minds this morning. The good news of Christmas is this. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's good news and bad news in that message. The bad news is that we're all sinners. The bad news is that the penalty for that sin is separation from God. The bad news is that if you don't get saved by that Savior, you end up going to hell and spending eternity apart from God. The bad news is that every single person stands underneath that penalty. The bad news is that there's none righteous, no, not one. The bad news is that we're all sinners and we stand under the penalty of that sin. You see, until you understand that, you don't really understand the good news. In fact, I would submit to you that good news is gooder the badder the bad news is. Now, that ain't very good English, but it sure is good preaching. The news is gooder the worse the bad news is. And I want to tell you something, and I don't know how to put it into words this morning. I don't know how to make it real to you, but hell is a terrible place. And I know maybe we shouldn't be talking about hell on Christmas morning, but on our Christmas service, but I can think of no better time to talk about the punishment that God has set up for everybody that rejects the Savior. And so when the angel says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," the angels know about hell. The angels know about the fire of hell, and they know about the bottomless pit, and they know about that place where the worm dieth not, and they know how terrible and awful and black hell is. And so when they stood that day and they announced to the angels, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," I don't think a lot of people say, well, the angels were like the Methodist choir down the street. They didn't get too excited. They just came and announced with a spiritual, yeah, Marissa, I preach this way all the time. You miss it, but she's smiling at me. But they didn't say, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," in that spiritual voice. No, they yelled out, "Behold, I bring you good tidings." I mean, I think if angels could jump up and down, they were jumping up and down on the battlements of heaven. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior! Somebody that could save you from hell. Somebody that could reach down to the depths of that place that God's prepared for his Satan and all his angels and bring us up and save us from that fire and save us from that bottomless pit and set us on a solid rock. That's what a Savior's all about. You can't have a Savior unless you got something to be saved from. And what we need to be saved from is hell. And if I could get you to understand this morning, if you could picture how bad hell is, and how black hell is, and how hot hell is, you do the same thing as the angels. You get up and shout, "Hey, I have good news of great joy to all people. For unto us is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So there's good news followed on the heels of bad news. This good news is directed to somebody. It's directed to every single person here. It wasn't just directed to a group of shepherds. It wasn't just directed to the Jews. It wasn't just directed to the people that lived in palaces and fine houses in Bethlehem or Jerusalem. It wasn't just directed to the well-educated or to the prominent people. The angel says, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." To all people. To every single person. God didn't leave anybody out. God didn't want the message that the angels delivered preached to every single man, woman, boy, and girl. Doesn't matter how you come this morning. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. Doesn't matter what kind of car. Doesn't matter how your life has been up to this point. The message, the good news, the great joy that God had the angels deliver that day to the shepherds is for you. It's for you. It's for you. If you need a Savior, and if you're still a sinner, and by the way, we're all sinners, just some of us are saved and some of us are not. But if you're here today and a sinner, not saved, the Savior came for you. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. 33 years into that life, they took him and they nailed him to a cross. And on the cross of Calvary, he took all my sin, and he took all of your sin, and he said, "Father, I'm paying the price for all this sin. All this sin." And the Bible says, as many as believed in him, to them God gave the power to become his sons, to have their sins forgiven, to get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, to be saved from hell. To be saved into heaven. And so it's good news. It's directed to every single person in this room. But then number three, it's not good news until it's told. It wasn't good news till the shepherds, until they heard it. It wasn't good news until you that are saved, until a Sunday school teacher or mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, somebody took the Bible and showed you from the Bible how to be saved. I mean, it wasn't good news to you until you understood it. Yeah, Christ was born. Yeah, I understand that's what, you know, Christ, Jesus' birthday. That's why we celebrate Christmas. But until you really understood what it was all about, until you got saved, it wasn't good news. But the moment, and I'm talking to Christians right now for a second, the moment you understood that you were a sinner headed for hell, having no hope to escape that, having nothing that you could do to make yourself right with God, and you realize that that's why Jesus came, that's why he died, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that's when it became good news to you. When it was told, and you understood it. Now, there's probably some in this room this morning, you say, "Boy, you're weird. You get up there and you scream and yell and you talk about hell." I want to tell you something. I'm excited. I'm going to heaven. I've read enough of the Bible. I don't want to go to hell. I understand. I mean, there's still a lot about hell I understand, but I understand one thing full well. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm glad. I'm glad that I had somebody that died in my place so that I could escape it. And I can't help it sometimes. I want to get excited. But the fact that Jesus died for me, I understand. It's good news for the whole world, but it was good news for this old sinner right here. And there are probably people here in this room this morning in a crowd this big that, yeah, you can understand Christmas a little bit, but you don't really understand yet what the angels were talking about when they said good tidings of great joy. Because you haven't realized yet that you're a sinner headed for hell. And that one that came and died on Calvary's cross came and died for you. This morning, let me reason with you just for a second. God loved the whole world. He gave his son to die for the whole world. That means every single person in this room. You say, well, how can God love that much? He's God. He's God. He has the ability to love every single person just the same. And he did. Because he sent Jesus to die for every single person. So I don't care who you are in this room. You got a God that loved you, that gave his only begotten son to pay for your sins. He doesn't want you to go to hell. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means that God wants every single person in this room this morning to get saved. He doesn't want one single person to go to hell. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took your sins on himself. And just like he paid for mine, he paid for yours. And he offers to every single person in this room this morning salvation from hell. Salvation to heaven. Salvation to a new life. Salvation to become part of the family of God. And if you're here this morning and you've never received that gift, what a more perfect time of year than Christmas when we give and receive gifts than to receive the gift that God's given to you. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ, would you come? Would you make Jesus your Savior? Would you just like you're going to do in a few days, take a gift, receive it? Would you do that to the gift that God has for you? And then to every Christian here, real quickly, and I'm done. Every Christian here, there's still people out there that don't know the good news. They don't know it because nobody's told them. Some of them live next door to us. Some of them work in the next cubicle or in the next station on the line. Some of them we pass in the grocery store week after week, call them by name. They don't know the good news of Christmas because we've never told them. And so I echo what the choir sang at the very end. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. Tell the good news that Christ has come. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. Tell the good news to everyone. Let's pray together. Father, hush our minds now. I pray you'd speak to the hearts of those that don't know Christ. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do in their life this morning. Help them to see how terrible hell is. Help them to see how much God loved them when he sent Jesus to die for them. And right now, Holy Spirit, would you help them to see that the only way that they can be saved from hell is to come to the Savior that was born on Christmas. Come to that little baby that grew up to be a perfect man who went to Calvary's cross and took all of their sins in his own body and died for those sins. And would you help them this morning make that decision of the will where they would say, I'm going to trust that one. I'm going to trust that Jesus. I'm going to trust the one who came and lived and died for me. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray you'd help us be faithful this year, this week, this time of year when we celebrate our Savior's birth, we'd be faithful to tell the good news to somebody that needs the Savior. Bless the invitation, Father. Use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray.